Today's scripture reading comes out of Acts chapter 2 again, but later on. I'm going to begin in verse 42, carry on through the end of the chapter. The disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. When I was first starting out in ministry, I was a college kid, and I was helping out my youth pastor, who had a very strong sarcastic streak. He was strong in the ways of the force that way. And so I was his disciple, and so I was sort of following those footsteps. He was a youth minister, so it was okay. And I would help him out with the middle schoolers who didn't get sarcasm really, but I used it anyway. And one of the things that we used to just sort of communicate and jaw on about was the abundance of these church conferences, leadership conferences that we would get invitations to. And they came in the mail, and they were beautiful color pictures. Who knows how much money they spent on them. And my boss would always say, look how much money they spent for me to throw this away for them. And then he would throw it in the trash can because he hated those conferences. He thought they were the worst. And so all kinds of these things would come in. Video series and books, and they all promised, and conferences, they all promised, here are the 10 things that you can do to make your church or your ministry extreme. And this was the 90s, so everything was trying to be extreme at that point for some reason. And these are the 8 things that you have to do. These are the 5 traits that all successful, exploding youth ministries have in common. So today, I was inspired by those things because I got another invitation to another church conference. And I remember what Tim had said. He said, Rory, I tell you what we're going to do. I said, are we going to go to a conference? He says, no. He says, we're going to make our own conference. And we're going to tell them the 7 things that they need to do to have a successful youth group. So here it is. Here are the 7 things to make your church dope. Because we're not extreme anymore. Now it's dope. That's the cool thing now. Number 1, make sure your pastor grows a full beard and wears glasses. Check. Number 2, use hashtags in your offertory prayers. That way they can trend on social media. Hashtag blessed. Number 3, develop a church app so that people have an excuse to be on their cell phones during the pastor's sermon. Number 4, have you considered a smoke machine? Number 5, replace your pews with rocking chairs and watch the Spirit move people. Number 6, 2 words, emoji sermon. And number 7, replace your communion grape juice with a local craft microbrew. You can see Doug sweating now, wondering what's under the tray. What's going on today? So that's it. Silly? Yes. But there's a whole industry that does this for a living. And it is a multi-million dollar industry that serves churches. If I wanted to, I could go to a conference. I'm not kidding you. 52 weeks out of the year, I could be gone all the time and get trained up on how to be the most dynamic, explosive, catalytic orange minister there ever was. And I would just come back and I would learn from all these experts. That's what they promise at all these conferences, that they're experts. And they're going to tell me what I need to do in my preaching. And they're going to tell me how to market the church better out in this digital age. And they're going to tell me the things that I need to change, the songs that we need to be singing, how to set up an Instagram account, which I don't really care about, but they're going to tell me how to do it anyway. The right kind of people to hire and employ. And then, you know, I think these things are ridiculous. I've been to them before, but they are filled to the brim with seats. 10,000 people in the auditorium. And those seats don't come cheap. They're hundreds of dollars at least for a three-day conference. And so there are people there. They're wanting to be there. They really want to know how to be more successful in their churches, I guess. But it sort of comes from the model of, we're going to treat church like any other business. The church is a business. And so these conferences are set up the way that any other professional development conference is set up. You hire big name, nationally known speakers to come in. You book this really fancy venue, put booths all in the Narthex area with books by the speakers and equipment and technology and all sorts of exciting gizmos and pens that people can pick up. And then you sell and advertise this conference. You send out mailers to all the professional people telling them, this is it. This is the key to success. This is what you need in your church. You can have high profits. You can have better results. And you can have, this is especially attractive to most churches, more customers. You can have more people in the pews. Churches really like that. So if we were at a church conference, the key to this Acts 2 passage would have been that last verse. Daily the Lord was adding to their numbers those who were being saved. And so you would work backwards from there and you'd say, okay, this is the formula. This is how your church is going to grow. This is the secret to growth, and I've got it for you. I'm not a dummy. I realize that there are some shallow churches out there who think about, you know what, we need more people in the pews because that's more revenue and that's a bigger, higher profile and we can do bigger and better things and we can attract people. I understand there's probably some churches like that, but my belief is, my earnest belief, those are few and far between. I think most churches are filled with good people who want people in the pews not because they want their money, but because they really want to share the gospel with them. What we were talking about last week, the good news of Jesus Christ, that they can be free of their sins. That's why they want people in the door. It's not for some ulterior motive. They have the best of intentions. They want to share that good news. And some of this anxiety, some of this need to go to these conferences or buy these books or video series or whatever, is sort of accelerated by the past few decades of trends of church attendance just in decline in our society, to be perfectly frank about it. And so that ratchets up the anxiety. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got to find the answers. Let's check with the experts. And the experts are people who have, you know, churches that have 10,000 people in attendance on a Sunday morning. If that's happening, then surely they must be the best of the best. And we can learn their secrets, and we can be the best in our field. It's just like a business. You get the best. You get the Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, and they come and talk. It'd be a feat if you could get Steve Jobs right now to come and talk to you about your business and how to be better. But here's the thing. No matter how much we may talk about it or use that phrase, the church ain't a business. It's just not. We're not a business. That's not why we're here. Businesses make money, but that's not what we're about. That is not our goal. That is not our purpose in this world. Do you remember when you started going to church? How many of you started church in the cradle roles? It was before you could even choose for yourself. You were brought in, put in the nursery. That's a lot of you. That wasn't my story. I started coming to church on and off when I was a kid. Probably one of my earliest memories of church was going over to a friend's house, and I'd stay over at his place on a Saturday night, and then he would drag me on a Sunday morning. His family would all get up and they would go to church. And I didn't care for that much. I didn't like that church. I didn't get anything out of it. I thought it was boring and weird. People were singing together. Where in the world does that happen? It's not even good music. I mean, it was just weird. So I didn't really care for it when I was a kid. I remember going to a Christmas Eve candlelight service when I was very young, and I really liked that because it was way late and it was really dark, and I got to hold fire, like win. I don't care what else happened that day. I love that day. Let's do that again. I can't wait for next. Can we do it on Easter too? Is there a reason we can do that on Easter? There is, by the way. We can do that sometime. And then I remembered, about 10 years old, I didn't go to church, but I said, I want to get baptized. And so my mom set it up on a Sunday night. We went in, and I got baptized in the church. And it was really important to me. And it was a special moment, and I appreciated it. But I still didn't go to church after that. Not regularly, not at all. So what's the deal? Many of you, we can recognize those kind of visits, right? People are here on Easter and Christmas. They're marking those high holy days. They're wanting some of that holiness or specialness about the holiday. Or maybe they come with a friend and they're interested, but they're not really because they're just trying to please their friend. Or maybe someone is here to mark some sort of special moment in their life. They're here to get married, or because someone passed away and they need to mark that passing at the funeral. And they're seeking that. And they really appreciate it when they're here. They needed that when they were here. That doesn't necessarily make them church attenders. It doesn't mean they're going to sign up and do it. If we were asking the business gurus, they would say, you have customers coming in the door, but you're not having repeat business. So something's wrong with your business model. You need to change the way you're advertising. You need to change your location, your venue, your employee structure, your customer service, whatever. You need to change something. And then you can see a higher return on your investment. But the church is not business. I didn't go to a church because they had a wonderful business model, or because it was a cool thing to do, or because they were selling something that I really, really wanted. I started going to church when I was in seventh grade because my lab partner asked me to when we were dissecting a frog. He said, I think you should come to my youth group. I said, okay. So I went. And that same night, that Wednesday night that I went, his friends at his youth group became my friends. And I didn't stop going for 10 years. I was important there. I belonged there. It wasn't that I was like the cool kid there. I had a role. People expected me to be there. They were disappointed when I wasn't there. So in a sense, the reason I kept going to church and the reason I became an attender wasn't because it was a good business, because it was home. It's because I needed that place, and that place needed me. It wasn't the same without me. I don't need the 10 steps to being dope or whatever. I don't need marketing strategies. I don't need the laws or the rules or the principles or whatever you want to call them to being rad or extreme or whatever. I just want church. I just want to go to church. I want some place where I can belong, where everybody knows my name, if I can quote that show, where I matter. Do you know that feeling of wanting to be someplace where you belong? I want to be in a place like the place we read. I want to read the passage again with those ears. Listen, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together. They had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I want to go there. I want that church. You know what I mean? I want to be part of that place. Because no matter who you are, this is the litmus test. I've noticed this. Whether you're young or old, conservative, liberal, whatever, this is the model for what church ought to be. Everyone agrees on that. And it's got a little bit of that list, seven thing mentality to it. And you could probably tick them off as I was reading them. They were studying together. So they were learning. They were praying together. And they were sharing life together. Not in some deep or overly spiritualized way, but just in common. They had things in common together. They took communion together. They gave to charity, even amongst themselves and with all people. They worshiped. And here's something that I noticed repeated several times. They ate together. They enjoyed the eating together. Why include that? Because I think something important happens when we break bread together. What strikes me about this passage is the mixing of two things. It's the mixing of the spiritual and the ordinary, the public and the private. This place sort of had it all, and I want that. I want some place where I can study and then just hang out and chill and do nothing with people. I want a place that knows how to potluck and pray together. I want some place where the Spirit is making a difference and causing people to give because they believe in what's going on. I stopped going to that church that I grew up in 10 years after I started because I went off to seminary in Atlanta. And when I was there, I started going to another little church there that was dying. There was probably about, I don't know, maybe 50 people. Very, very senior adult white folks, mostly. And the reason I started going there is because they had a homeless ministry where they would cook a hot meal every Tuesday and then have Bible study with them. And I thought that was cool. So I went. And then I realized the day after that, on Wednesday nights, they would drive their own church bus and they would go pick up all these neighborhood kids. They'd have to make 3 runs to pick up all these kids who were mostly illegal immigrants and people on welfare. And they would bring them in. They didn't have parents in the church or anything. They'd just go and bring them in and love on them on a Wednesday night. Give them a snack, tell them about Jesus because they cared. They'd do the same thing on Sunday morning. All these older, senior, retired, white folks would have these brown and black kids in their laps on Sunday morning showing them how to read the hymnal and everything like that. They just cared. They loved them. So I started going regularly. So it was me and homeless people and older people and young kids, who some of whom spoke very little English, and then a bunch of seminary kids. And we all found a place there. There would be a lot of people on the outside who would say that church failed because they closed the doors when I was there. I stayed there until they closed the doors. They ended up joining up with another church down the road. Sold the property to a Korean church who was moving into the neighborhood. Is that a failed church? Not by any stretch of the imagination. I am proud as I can be that my ordination certificate has the name Northwoods Baptist Church on it. They ordained me for the Christian ministry, and I carry them with me. And the people who are there, everywhere I go. Failed. Heavens no. I think that was one of the most successful churches I've ever been in. Because they gave money to kids they didn't even know. They cared about people, whether they were going to get anything back or not. That's what church is. It's not a business. It's some backwards, upside-down place where you do things that don't even make sense. Church is the place where you come and you give money and you work your tail off just to spend life together. Church is the place where people are giving their days to mentor kids in the schools to make sure that they have someone who cares about them and encourages them. Church are the people who go and pick up furniture on a Saturday morning to give out on a Monday morning, no charge. Church is the crazy place where people pay hundreds of dollars for cakes and pies just because they care about teenagers and want them to see have a good summer. We are the church. We sing songs together. We live life together. We pray and we eat a lot of chicken together, apparently. That's who we are. We are not called to be the best of the best. Christ told his disciples, and that's us, take up your cross and follow me. Follow in that way of sacrifice, of giving, of dying even. And something mystical happens in that. When we give up ourselves, just as Christ gave up, we are swept up in the mystery of the resurrection. When we give up on success, we find that God is winning the victory all around us, everywhere we see him. When we give up, we find we have more than we could ever need, that there is bounty in our giving. So today, Christ's body is broken among us. On the third day, he was raised and he was glorified, never to be broken again. Today, Christ shed his blood so that all other people might be forgiven and freed from their sins, that they don't have to carry around shame and guilt with them anymore. And church, we are the body of Christ, breaking ourselves and being glorified in the process. We are giving our lives up to others so that they can find freedom and hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. So in that spirit, I encourage you to do something backwards. And let's break bread together.